There is no easy way to review the events of the past year in Washington. Once again, they have been so dizzying, so heated, so rapid, that it's almost impossible to remember everything that has taken place in this city's now non-stop news cycle. But there is a central theme emerging, that President Trump will continue to say whatever he likes, whether it's true or not, and yet will continue to enjoy the core support of about a third of the American electorate. No matter how great the lie, how bold the falsehood, how bald-faced the about-face, there is nothing that shames him, nothing that constrains him. As evidence, let's revisit his Helsinki summit meeting with Vladimir Putin. And this salient question, asked in light of intelligence agency reports unanimously agreeing that the Russians tried to interfere in the 2016 election.
Would you now, with the whole world watching, tell President Putin, would you denounce what happened in 2016, and would you warn him to never do it again?
All I can do is ask the question. My people came to me, they said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this, I don't see any reason why it would be.
Now that was a simply astonishing moment, the president infuriating his entire national security team by ignoring their conclusions on Russia's actions and siding instead with President Vladimir Putin. So great was the outrage and so numerous the threats by Trump lieutenants to resign that the minute he landed back on US soil, Donald Trump, without a hint of irony, was forced to walk it back, reading a prepared statement in what almost looked like a hostage video.
I said the word would instead of wouldn't. And the sentence should have been, and I thought it would be maybe a little bit unclear on the transcript or unclear on the actual video. The sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be Russia.
Odd then that within days he was once again questioning whether the Russians really did it. We still don't know why Donald Trump is so strangely beguiled by Vladimir Putin, but we do know now that the Russians definitely had something on him. They knew at the very least that he lied when, during the election campaign, he said he had no active business dealings with Russia. Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller has established that talks with the Russians about building a Trump Tower in Moscow were still taking place while the election campaign was underway. Why did the president lie about it? Perhaps Mr. Mueller will find out, because he's also uncovered other lies that the president and his spokeswoman Sarah Huckabee Sanders have willingly told.
There was no knowledge of any payments from the president, and he's denied all of these allegations.
Specifically, can I ask, did the president approve of the payment that was made in October of 2016 by his longtime lawyer and advisor, Michael Cohen?
Look, the president has addressed these directly and made very well clear that none of these allegations are true.
Except they are true. Michael Cohen, the president's former lawyer, will soon begin a 3-year jail sentence for those payments. And prosecutors say they believe his claim that he was acting at the direction of Donald Trump.
The man doesn't tell the truth. He directed me to make the payments. He directed me to become involved in these matters. I gave loyalty to someone who truthfully does not deserve loyalty.
He was trying to hide what you were doing, correct?
Correct.
And he knew it was wrong?
Of course.
And he was doing that to help his election?
He was very concerned about how this would affect the election.
He should now be concerned about how Michael Cohen's guilty plea will affect his own future. Even if all the other investigations go nowhere, and that's unlikely, Donald Trump is at risk of facing criminal prosecution and a jail sentence over those payments made to two women, silencing them about their extramarital affairs with him. Some of the president's lies in 2018 were about his achievements. He falsely claimed that following his summit meeting in Singapore with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, the North no longer poses a nuclear threat to the world. In fact, North Korea continues to work busily building its nuclear capacity after the two leaders signed a generically worded statement that didn't rise to the level of demanding the complete, verifiable disarmament of the North that U.S. policymakers said they would insist upon.
Mr. President, this joint statement does not talk about verifiable or irreversible denuclearization.
Yeah.
Is that a concession on the part of the United States?
No, not at all, because if you look at it, I mean, it said we are going to
let's see here. It will be gone. I don't think you can be any more plain than what we're asking.
And within weeks, things got even odder.
When I did it, and I was really being tough, and so was he, and we would go back and forth, and then we fell in love. Okay? No, really. He wrote me beautiful letters, and they're great letters. We fell in love.
He's fallen in love with a North Korean dictator who has an estimated 100,000 people languishing in his country's gulags. You heard his supporters there laughing with the president. It wasn't the only time in 2018 that people laughed during a Donald Trump appearance, but at the United Nations General Assembly, they were definitely laughing at him, not with him.
In less than 2 years, my administration has accomplished more than almost any administration in the history of our country. America's so true. Didn't expect that reaction, but that's okay.
President Trump uses the scorn that most world leaders have for him to his own advantage in the U.S. After all, which other American president could shred age-old alliances with countries like Canada, Germany, and France without alienating his support at home? His supporters say he spent the year making good on his policy pledges, pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal.
I am announcing today that the United States will withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal. In a few moments, I will sign a presidential memorandum to begin reinstating U.S. nuclear sanctions on the Iranian regime.
Moving America's embassy in Israel to Jerusalem, waging a trade war on China, building an economy that until the last few weeks of the year at least seemed to be booming, and using Twitter to order a unilateral withdrawal of military forces from Syria, a move that sparked the angry resignation of his Defense Secretary Jim Mattis. And then there's Britain, where the president is only too ready to pull the rug out from beneath Prime Minister Theresa May. Time and again in 2018, he deliberately caused her difficulty, including this unexpected intervention just as she was trying to secure parliamentary support for the compromise Brexit agreement she'd worked out with Brussels.
Sounds like a great deal for the EU, and I think we have to do this. I think we have to take a look at seriously whether or not the UK is allowed to trade, because, you know, right now, if you look at the deal, they may not be able to trade with us.
That depth charge was exploded even as the US ambassador to Britain, Woody Johnson, claimed that behind-the-scenes talks on a unilateral US-UK free trade agreement that will be needed post-Brexit were making progress. And that wasn't the only controversy rooted in Britain that the president was willing to stoke. His quick, oh-so-quick, visit to the UK in July included a memorable moment at Windsor where he broke protocol, stood in front of the Queen and paid her no heed as they wandered past an honour guard. He also kept her waiting for nearly a quarter of an hour and then had the front to deny it.
So here was the story by the fake news. The president was 15 minutes late for the Queen. Wrong. And then here's the rest of the story. No, here's the rest. Here's the rest of the story. I guess the meeting was scheduled for 15 minutes, and it lasted for almost an hour. The president overstayed. So I was late and I overstayed, and honestly, folks, it was such a beautiful, beautiful visit and afternoon. But they can make anything bad because they are the fake, fake, disgusting news.
Which brings us neatly on to the people that President Trump uses Stalinist and dangerous language to describe as the enemy of the people. His war on a free, independent press, guaranteed by the First Amendment to the US Constitution, has been unrelenting over the past year and is likely to intensify in 2019. There was no more appalling moment than his confrontation with Jim Acosta of CNN, who simply wanted to know why the president, during the midterm election campaign, had lied to voters when he claimed an invasion of the US by Latin American immigrants was imminent.
They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
Honestly, I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
Let me ask, if I may ask one other question. Mr. President, if I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough. That's enough.
Mr. President, I was going to ask one of the other folks.
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am. Mr. President.
That's enough.
Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that... that you may have
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation?
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Peter. In Jim's defense, I've traveled with him and watched him. He's a diligent reporter who busts.
Well, I'm not a big fan of yours either, so
I understand.
To be honest.
Simply disgraceful behavior by a president who, since he came to power, has made more than 7,500 false or misleading claims, as chronicled by The Washington Post. It fact-checks everything he says. Even Fox News was onto him in the days leading up to the midterms. Fox News anchor Shepard Smith.
The migrants, according to Fox News reporting, are more than 2 months away, if any of them actually come here. But tomorrow is 1 week before the midterm election, which is what all of this is about. There is no invasion. No one's coming to get you. There's nothing at all to worry about.
But the president's use of that immigration caravan to stir up anti-immigrant sentiment paid off. In the midterm elections, the Republicans extended their majority in the Senate, but they lost control of the House of Representatives. There, the Democrats will run things from January, and they will have the power to launch as many investigations of the Trump presidency as they want. Want to know what Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, texted to Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman following the murder of US-based journalist Jamal Khashoggi? From January, the Democrats can find out. Interested to learn more about Ivanka Trump's use of a private email account to conduct government business? You can bet the Democrats will be all over that one. And they may even be able to get their hands on that most elusive document of all, Donald Trump's tax returns, which he so far refused to put into the public domain. Constitutionally, they'll also be empowered to begin impeachment proceedings against him, further fueling the notion that the net is closing in and raising questions about the president's ability to see out his term in the White House. But admit it, when he's gone, you'll miss presidential moments like these.
I just want to thank all of the incredible men and women who have done such a great job in helping with Florence. This is a tough hurricane, one of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
China has total respect for Donald Trump and for Donald Trump's very, very large brain.
But I love this guy right here. Let me give this guy a hug right here. I love this guy right here.
That's really nice. That's really nice. And that's from the heart. I didn't want to put you in that position, but that's from the heart. Special guy.
Kanye West in the Oval Office there. He is indeed a special guy. Days after his ranting appearance in the White House, he said he'd been used by the president to spread messages he doesn't believe in. Other more serious accusations are likely to be made early in 2019, when we think Robert Mueller will publish his report into ties between the Trump campaign and the Russians and the president's attempts to obstruct justice. Can Donald Trump's presidency survive 2019? You'll just have to stay tuned to find out.